Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Thursday, it's another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. If you're listening on post day on Thursday, that's exactly the day that it is. Welcome everybody, and thank you for downloading, streaming, and checking out the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new on Thursdays via podcastone.com or iTunes. Always great to have everybody hanging out and listening around the world. Thank you for doing so wherever, however, whenever you do it. It is greatly appreciated. Lots going on as usual. And the schedule is heating up even more now as we're getting closer to the spring and summer concert touring season. Some upcoming appearances for me. March 24th, I'll be at Arlene's Grocery in New York City, hosting a record release party for Crimshaw. I'll be in Englewood, Ohio, just outside of Dayton on April 7th. And that's a Q&A speaking show at the Courtyard Lounge. In Tulsa at the IDL Ballroom, April 13th, hosting LA Guns. Proof Rooftop Lounge in Houston on April 22nd. Hosting Tom Kiefer. And then you got Rocklahoma coming up and Striper on May 30th. Then I'm also hosting much more going on. Just check out the homepage of EddieTrunk.com for info and updates as things are confirmed. Follow on social media as well at EddieTrunk, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. This week on the podcast, a fun interview. We take you back a few weeks to the Monsters of Rock Cruise, where I was broadcasting my Sirius XM volume show from the ship each and every day. Had some great guests that were on board playing on the ship, and we had a great, great time, as always, on the cruise. And over the last few weeks, I've brought you some of the interviews from the ship, including, the LA Guns one last week, Steve Harris one a couple weeks ago, and this week, a really fun one that came out of left field. Rick Allen of Def Leppard, who was on board the cruise doing some selling of his artwork. He didn't perform really, although he did jam with Tesla, but he wasn't really there in a performing capacity, more to showcase his artwork and sell it. So Rick had just been on my radio show a couple weeks before, and we actually podcasted that interview for you here on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. And I did a Q&A with him on board the ship, and it's always fun to talk to Rick. And then I said to him, I'm doing the radio show still from the ship. I know you were just on, but why don't you come by and hang out a little bit? So he said, yeah, I'd love to. So originally, Brian Wheat from Tesla was supposed to join Rick Allen for this interview. And Brian had some back problems and was laid up in his room and wasn't able to make the interview. So I said, hey, is Jeff around? Jeff Keith. And the night before this interview you're about to hear, I hung out with Jeff Keith and we watched LA Guns and we partied with LA Guns hard after the show on the ship. So I was completely convinced when I asked if Jeff Keith was going to be able to come on to get a no, he's going to be sleeping it off and he's not going to do anything, and he's tired, and he's out, whatever. I thought I was expecting every excuse in the book, and they said, no, Jeff says he'll be there. He wants to do it. I was like, wow, okay, great. But I was expecting a sluggish, out of it slightly, Jeff Keith. Instead, I got a shot out of a cannon, Jeff Keith, as you are about to hear. This was absolutely hysterical. I have not heard it back yet myself. I hope it plays well on the radio. You're about to let me know because you're about to hear it. But Jeff was in rare form. So what you have is that interview this week on the Eddie Trunk podcast of Jeff Keith of Tesla and Rick Allen of Def Leppard. Now, of course, these guys have been very tied at the hip lately because Tesla has opened a bunch of shows recently for Def Leppard. Def Leppard and Tesla are now, as of recently, under the same management umbrella. And Phil Collin of Def Leppard has produced the upcoming new Tesla record and written on it and sings on it and plays on it. So there's a, and of course, Tesla and Def Leppard go back to the Hysteria tour, which was Def Leppard's, I think, their first tour when Def Leppard, Tesla opened for Def Leppard. So it's quite a history. And these guys have been rekindled and reconnected quite a bit recently. And as you're about to hear, it was a barrel of laughs because Jeff was just all over the map, fired up, having the time of his life. And Rick Allen and I just kind of got out of his way a little bit. I'm looking forward to hearing this back myself. So coming up in a matter of minutes, we take you to the Monsters of Rock Cruise once again of 2018 and a really fun, interesting doubleheader. Rick Allen of Def Leppard, which it starts out quite calmly, and then all of a sudden Jeff Keith gets injected into the mix, and we go for a fun ride. So that's coming up on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Don't forget, if you shop on Amazon, go to amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Start all your shopping there. Check out my page and shop from there. Amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Don't forget to visit EddieTrunk.com. Music news updated daily. The blog, which is the Trunk Report. And a whole lot more, all on eddietrunk.com. You can email me through the site, see all my upcoming appearances, buy signed copies of either of my books, and check out the merch store in the on that page as well. All right, let's get right to it. Let's not mess around. On the Eddie Trunk podcast, coming your way, Jeff Keith and Rick Allen of Def Leppard.
The Eddie Trunk podcast.
Hey, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP, and you might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Hey, podcast listener, this is Rob Cisternino. I'm the Rob, and Rob has a podcast, and the new season of Survivor is just getting started, and we've got new episodes for you 5 days a week. Join us for interviews with your favorite past Survivor players and this season's losers right after they get their torch snuffed. Listen free to Rob Has a Podcast, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. And if you like the show, why not share it with a friend or leave us a rating and review on iTunes?
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This week on the Eddie Trunk Podcast, as promised, from the Monsters of Rock Cruise, courtesy of Trunk Nation, my daily show on Sirius XM 106 volume, which you can hear live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, replaying every night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and on demand on the Sirius XM app. Check it out, Trunk Nation, every day, Monday through Friday, on Sirius XM radio, and best of shows on Saturday and Sunday, which air from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. This is from the Monsters of Rock Cruise on board the High Seas, Rick Allen of Def Leppard, joined by a shot out of a cannon, Jeff Keith of Tesla. Enjoy. This is a fun one.
Good to see you, man.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. I was really annoyed that I couldn't say anything.
We were both looking at each other like, you know, maybe we could say that. And yeah. I know you were getting texts.
I was getting text messages from a manager. I'm sure you were getting messages all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. So we behaved. We did the right thing. And then we let Joe come in and get all the glory and announce it a couple days later.
Hey, I'm fine with that.
You know the singers. They always have to do the big gigs. So how you feeling about this tour, man? It's going to be a lot of fun going back out with Journey again, huh?
Yeah, it was great the last time, and you know, just a really good camaraderie between the two bands, and I think it's going to be really fun, you know, hearing that many hit songs, you know, all in one night.
Yeah, and of course with Journey, the last time you toured with them, Jeff Scott Soto was singing in the band.
That's right, and then Dean was playing the drums.
Dean was on drums, and this time Steve Smith is back on drums.
I better start practicing.
he's quite a player. And then, of course, you have... look at this. Jeff Keith has just stormed the broadcast position.
He just arrived. Come on,
sit down. Get one of those microphones, Jeff. Come on, man. Here he is. Ladies and gentlemen,
how
are
you doing? Hey! So, I'm sitting in between them because apparently these two went out last night and tied one on royally. So, you okay? Well,
oh, yes, it is called the Royal Caribbean, right?
Hold on, there you go. You're good, Jeff. You're good. Jeff, what were we doing? I don't even know what we were doing last night.
We were at an LA gun show, man.
That's awesome. That's right.
And then we were at Frank's pool party show.
I was there.
Yeah, I know.
I know. It was great. It was great. I was hiding in the back.
I know, but you were off the hook hiding in the back.
I know.
Hey, how do you turn the volume up on this thing?
Wait, what do you want? You want more volume? Hold on.
No,
don't move the thing.
No, don't move that towards you.
Jesus. Jeff.
Keep that thing kind of just away from me. Pull a can off.
There you go. I can hear it pulling the can. Yeah. I like that, Rick. You're good.
Hey, stick with me. So check this out. I got my original... signed Tesla T-shirt on. Can you see this? You see this guy in the middle? He looks kind of strange.
No, he's trouble. I can tell. I know. You can see the whole thing. Keep it covered with your glasses.
I think that's the reason Def Leppard and Tesla tolerate one another is because we know too much about one another.
Is there a lot of things that went on under that stage on that Hysteria tour in the rounds?
Didn't even know your stage thing.
I knew about it, but me and Joe were always up on stage. You know, it would always be during like Rock of Ages when they're doing like the back and forth audience participation and everything. And there were like these metal grates, and I could just look down and see what was going on. It was crazy. It was good, clean fun. You know,
Jeff, how do you do a whole tour with Def Leppard and not know what's going on under there?
Listen, it's easy. Just be dumb like me. Hey, don't worry. I was doing things above the ground. Unfortunately, I wore my heart on my sleeve, and I was probably doing things that I should have been underneath the stage.
You should have been hiding?
Well, No, man, it was all good.
It was. It was.
Fun.
No, it was good. Nobody got hurt.
No, but one time when we went, the only time I went under there, we were playing Nassau Coliseum.
Long Island.
Yes, and evidently from your guys' lasers for sugar, you know.
Yeah.
They had to be cooled with some kind of water lines. The water line broke.
Yeah.
Our power went out after on the second song.
Oh, right.
And then we got... Is it okay to say? We got rolled out in your guys' the way...
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay, in a fashion that you got rolled in and how...
What are you talking about?
No. He's trying to talk around something that we used to do. So because we were playing in the round, the guys would come out in laundry carts, and they would get wheeled through the audience.
Oh, that's how you get to the stage.
And then I would actually wear. Oh, you just reminded me of a great story.
So I would
come out with a wig on.
Oh, really?
A big old baseball cap.
Yeah.
One of those big red cups, you know, full of beer. And then I had a mannequin arm, the whole nine yards.
You had a
crew jacket on, crew pass. And so this one night, I'm about to go out to the stage, and Steve Clark comes up to me. And he gives me a big old pat on the back.
Oh,
he says,
no.
Have a great night.
Oh,
Rick.
No.
And he stuck this thing on my back that says, I'm Rick Allen. So I'm like going through the crowd, you know, like checking everybody out, you know, and I'm about 10 feet from the stage, and this kid comes up and he goes, Rick Allen, man.
That's great, dude.
You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought because you said you had a mannequin arm, so it looked like you had both arms. I thought you'd say he hit you on the back and the arm fell off.
Oh, no. I'm sure that happened as well, but
no,
oh, man.
No. I thought you were going to say he pulled your wig off himself, but it's even better yet, going, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy, go get him.
Go get him. Bud. Yeah. All right, we'll see you out there.
I never thought about that, though, when you guys played in the round, because the reason why this just came up is because Tesla's first tour was opening for Def Leppard on the Hysteria tour, the In the Round show. I never really thought about that. You had to come up with clever ways to get from the dressing room to the stage because you couldn't have that direct access.
That's right.
What you guys did. You were actually pushed in laundry baskets?
Yeah, in laundry baskets. And then in Chicago, Robert Plant came to see us one time, and he pushed one of the laundry baskets out. And not one person in the audience recognized it.
Really?
Yeah.
I would figure Robert would have to go in his own laundry basket. Like
He was kind of pissed off.
What the fuck? I'm Robert Plant. Where's my laundry basket?
I know, really.
It was easy for us. We just walked out there triple fisted.
Because
nobody really knew who we were, right?
No, it was cool.
These guys helped.
We developed a really good relationship.
It was great. We
I was
going to
say, how was that? You got a band of a bunch of hippies, and I say that with all love, like Tesla. Northern California, you know, Jeff coming off the farm, literally. And then, you guys, a British band, at that point, just exploding at the height of popularity. It is kind of interesting that you guys had such a quick friendship and bond.
It was good. Well, Jeff brought some of the greenery from the farm.
Hey, I didn't major in FFA for nothing. I majored in FFA out of Idaho, Oklahoma, but I couldn't grow a damn thing, so I had to hook it up somewhere else.
Wait, what's FFA?
Future. No, Future Frontman of America. Yeah, that's what I turned into. Future Frontman of America. Well, there's only one, I think. I don't know.
What does it really stand for, though? Future
Farmers of America.
So that was a class you took?
I can weld you a bead like nobody's business. I had to watch a calf be born and watch the mama eat the placenta. The whole thing.
No, and he grows.
Where was this?
That's how you got an A. And then we...
I'm from New Jersey. I don't know what this is.
Idabel, Oklahoma.
Where?
Idabel, Oklahoma.
That's where you grew up.
Well... I moved to Broken Bow when I was just about 11 and lived 1 year in Broken Bow. Got this tattoo. And then moved for 5 more years over in Idaho, Oklahoma. I graduated Bicentennial 76.
That's right.
Majoring in FFA. And that was It was a great opportunity. We'd go in the welding class. We'd go four or five of us would be installed, going turn it up to 210. Come on, go just make it smooth.
No, but it was cool. it was really cool because it served him well. Because when he got out on the road, he brought some of the finest Thunderbird. I think
I know, but I had to hook that up. I don't know how to grow that, but I can weld it. I can weld a bead. I know how what it takes to for a mama cow to have a calf. And agriculture. One thing that I know that sometimes people go, I didn't know that, is peanuts are grown underground. Did everybody know that?
Yes. Well done, right. Jeff. Well done, Jeff. Man, you're a wealth of knowledge.
Let me say this. Now I'm even more amazed at the question that I just asked, and I still am further away from the answer. But how that... Yeah. And Rick Allen and Def Leppard became friends. Like, that's just so...
diversity.
This that guy's growing weed diversity, in Oklahoma and peanuts in the ground and milking calves.
And then back to California to drive trucks, septic tanks, in the liner it says cement truck, and that was bullshit.
No, but you know what? It was so funny because...
It's a septic tank truck. We're number one, number two business.
I know. No, Troy, the drummer with Tesla, so he'd get off the road on his break, and he'd go back to roofing.
He'd yes. be doing... Oh, yeah, honestly. He's a great roofer.
No,
oh,
I know. Yeah. I know.
Wait a minute. Yes. Tesla's got the first record out, okay? You're on an arena tour opening for Def Leppard, and then when you got off the road, Troy had to go back to his roofing gig?
Whoa. Let's get it straight here. We were making the first record in Bearsville. Right. Up by Woodstock, where the Woodstock concert was, but where the little town Woodstock.
Right.
In Bearsville studio.
Right.
The first two records we made there. And so, gosh, I forget her name that owned the studio. She had some houses that we would stay in. So Troy started with the house that he stayed in to do the roof in between tracks.
Holy shit.
So during the record, yes.
Wait a minute. You just happened to be in a bad roofed house while you were making the record?
No.
So Troy comes up there. I'll take care of this.
No.
Or is it trade-off? What was it?
No, she was the owner of the studio, and Troy needed some extra money. Heck, I think I even got up there and said, hey, let me just...
I'm a roofer, too.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But no, and then Troy would do it for a side project. You know, when we were first, you know, making the first record, even the second one, we were trying to skimp as much as possible because we were always told by our management, Bernstein and Mensch, that...
Q Prime.
Yeah. We were all
on the same That's management. Right, you had the same manager.
They said... When you get signed, a lot of bands, they go, oh, I want the limo right here. I want to do all this. I want a barbecue every other day. But they made us aware that you have to pay that back. So they said, go as low ball as you can. So we went so low ball that I think I ended up moving in with B-Dub, a couple girlfriends or whatever. And that's when Frank went back to doing, you know, construction and stuff. I went back to precast or driving truck a little bit again, but because we were trying to lowball as much as we could, and then Love Song becomes this top 10 single, and next you know,
you're sitting in a limo.
They're saying, hey, no, I don't like, you know what I don't like about limos? Is there's no foot room, man.
No.
No, the couch bends like that. You're like, gee. You're like, and I'm just a pickup truck kind of guy. I like pulling up in a pickup truck, you know. But so we did side jobs and did stuff like that, and until we were making enough money.
Yeah.
Because it only becomes your livelihood when you're selling records, and so.
So the first time you met Def Leppard was on that tour. You guys had not had any interaction with them before that.
No, we'd heard their record and we loved it because Peter and Cliff picked up the record.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, we're all on the same management. And the funny thing is, we're all on the same management again.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Cool,
right?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys have just recently done a lot of touring together. You've had, Rick, you've had Tesla out in the third spot on the last couple
can't
of tours.
Get rid of him.
You
can't.
We're like a tick, man. You got to turn us counterclockwise. counterclockwise.
But I love it. I love it. It's great having familiar faces around. No drama. You know,
no.
it's cool.
And now it's the Def Leppard Tesla connection's gone a step further because, and I heard some of it the other day, Phil Collin has produced the new Tesla record that's coming out.
That's right.
It was a blast. It was a blast. Yeah. I mean, Rick, you know better than anybody. You're such, you guys, these guys, man, all they've done for us, Def Leppard, but they are just awesome people. And I mean that. No, I mean that.
No,
Rick,
it's
you guys
true.
Are awesome.
No, it's
and
cool.
Phil,
man.
Hey, they took us under their wing and taught us how to treat bands that are playing with you. You know, you guys taught us, man. It's the whole entire show is that's what it's all about. Yeah. So they've always been great to us. So Phil Collin is a crazy,
Tracy Guns just walked in and sat down in front of us.
Phil's such a great guy, man, and we love working with him. He really got some really good stuff out of us. He even helped co-write it with us.
That's
so,
cool.
You know, so
that's
yeah.
Cool.
So
and
cool.
I heard some of it vocally. You're doing some different things, Jeff. I mean, your voice sounds. I love your voice all the time, but you're going into some different territory a little bit vocally. Is that
right.
Something that Phil brought out of you as well?
Yes, absolutely. He even co-wrote with.
Now we used to all do this warm up tape, and he started getting Jeff into doing the warm up tape,
right?
And it
right.
just opened his throat up. I mean, yeah, it really changed his range and just the quality of his voice. Yeah. So you know. Hang out with Def Leppard, you know, look what happened.
I would imagine the hanging out with Def Leppard on the road in 2016, 17, 18, though, is very different than the hanging out in 87, 88.
I don't remember much of the 80s,
that's
so that's my
that's
excuse.
That's the good part about it, though.
I know, it's great, isn't it? It's
my we excuse. Lost some brain cells that aren't coming back.
Yeah.
But there were no juicers backstage in 87, 88. Now you got...
No,
you can go into Phil's organic juicing corner of the
no,
backstage.
No, but I think Phil said, was telling me that, because I'm vegan now, I love it.
Uh-huh.
But Phil told, was, I think I overheard him telling B-Dub or something that he started going vegan at that point. Is that when you started going vegan?
Yeah, right? Yeah. For me, going out on the road, the only way I can get through what I have to get through, you know, just energy wise, is to just eat really, really clean, you
right.
know, and that's so, you know, juicing and beer is good.
Right, I think Phil said he left the beer aside and just kept the juicer,
he did,
right?
He did. Yeah. Yeah, I went down a different path.
But
we're all good. It's all
hey,
good.
Hey, beer ain't hurting nothing.
No.
Except for me this morning waking up, having them with you last night. My God. We were, Tracy Guns just walked in here. Me and, he
Tracy?
Ran out, but me and Jeff and Tracy, we were singing Aerosmith songs a cappella at one point, banging on the desk and Lord of the Thighs.
The podium? Yeah.
Lord of the there was a podium. Now it's coming back to me. There was a podium, and Jeff got up at this podium and started preaching and singing.
Oh, fantastic, man.
I don't preach. I don't know how to preach.
No, but we don't need to see. There was people in the room with cameras. Oh, my gosh.
No.
Oh, anything you do, nothing stays in Vegas anymore.
Oh, man.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. No, I was saying the other day, if there were cell phones in the 80s, I'd still be in jail.
You know? It's true, man. It's true. Hey, but you know what? Hey, it's the way I figure, as long as you got good intentions, so somebody catches you, you know, clipping your toenails, big deal.
Yeah, it's cool.
You know.
So I take it you guys have both had a good time on the boat, because I've had a great time.
Yeah.
I wish it was like this on the Def Leppard cruise, because the Def Leppard cruise, it was really rough, and, yeah. you know, like, obviously Jimmy, and it was just one thing after the next.
Yeah.
And I think if everybody had had this kind of experience, I think we'd be doing another one.
You seem like you'd be open to it, and talking to you in the past.
I'm totally open to it, and everybody's been really respectful. I've been wandering around the boat, you know, doing pop-up sort of, met Rick. You know,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
And everybody's been really cool.
Yeah, we did something at 10 a.m. the other day. We did a Q&A with some people at one of the events that you and I did, and that was a lot of fun. And, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, again, I know that certain members of your band weren't so keen on doing it again, but maybe as time goes on, people start to reconsider, and there will be another Def Leppard cruise.
I hope so. I just think if Joe and the guys that have had this kind of experience, I think it would have just been a lot smoother transition to do another one.
And mm-hmm. Jeff is like, how many have you done, Jeff, for with Tesla? This is like the fourth or fifth, right?
Oh, wait a
on
second.
On this one alone, on Monsters of Rock, you guys do it kind of like every other year.
5 to 7, maybe?
Wow.
Something like
that. Well, we didn't do last year.
You didn't do last year.
They were out on tour with us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But Jeff is the perfect example of a guy who gets what being on a cruise is. I mean, you get out there, you have fun. I mean,
I love it.
My gosh, you go. See, Jeff doesn't hide in his cabin, man. Y'all see him in the front row, fist pumping to a bunch of different bands. He's out there living it.
I'm going to be looking for the swimming pool here a little bit later.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. No, but he's like that on the Def Leppard tour. Like, on the tour, he's the only guy that introduces himself to every single bus driver, every single truck driver, every single crew member.
Well,
they all love you, man. It's great. Yeah.
Well,
it's really cool.
Let me say, I mean, and he said about you guys and your band, and knowing all the guys in Leppard, I can attest that what he said is true. But back at him, because I've literally known the Tesla guy since day one, and all of those guys have always been like that. I mean, they're just, but especially this guy, though.
I know, you
can't look at Jeff Keith and not smile. I mean, the minute I see him, give him a big hug, and I'm like, that's my guy, JK, cool. You know, there he is.
I might have done a couple things where you go,
My personal favorite Jeff Keith story, was, I don't know if you remember this, Jeff. Like, I think Into the Now had just come out, and the record label at the time was working a record by Brides of Destruction, which was Nikki Sixx's band, with Tracy, actually, at the time.
Oh,
you guys were on the same label at the time. And you would come in, and we were in touch directly, and I said, yeah, guys, come up, do the radio show. And you're like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, a couple days go by, and I get a call from the label saying, no, Tesla won't be coming. Instead, we're sending Nikki Sixx and the Brides of Destruction guys. I said, well, that's okay. I mean, they can come too. We'll make time for everybody. But what about? And I called you guys and I said, oh, I'm sorry, this didn't work out. And you're like, what are you talking about? We're going to come. And the label basically was sending the other band that was more of the priority at the time and did a bait and switch.
Well, that happens.
But this is what these guys did, Rick.
Uh-oh.
Jeff Keith. You remember this. Jeff Keith on Long Island went to a rent-a-wreck and rented the car on his own, and you guys all piled into a rent-a-wreck and drove into my studio and came and did the show anyway.
Fantastic. I've been known to get rent-a-wrecks and rent-a-wrecks. But what I don't realize is the politics of it. They're going, gosh, damn it, what are you doing? I'm mad about that. As a matter of fact, any information that they might go, we don't want this to leak out, I go, don't tell me.
don't.
Just don't tell me, because I'll just go, oh, yeah, we're talking about going fishing over here or something. They'll go, no.
Hey, one other thing, and maybe the audience have some questions for you guys as well. We'll take a few questions from the audience. But one other thing, Jeff, you're talking about growing up, Oklahoma, farm, the whole thing. When did you first know you could sing? When did the rock bug hit you and you said, I'm going to – it's a big transition to go from what you were doing.
Well, I moved back from Oklahoma in 76, and somewhere probably like – I saw my first concert, Dana Green, #3, with Van Halen, and this right here, man.
Wait, your first concert was Van Halen and AC/DC?
And Pat Travers and Foreigner and Aerosmith.
Oh, my God.
It's called Monsters of Rock at Oakland Coliseum. My first concert from 963 population to, whoa. That's back in the days where you could pass things, you know, like chapstick and maybe a few other things until cold sores ruined that. But that was my first concert. Come back, go. My second concert was Dana Green, #3 in 79. And then AC/DC had moved up to the middle slot. And then it was Aerosmith supporting Ted Nugent.
Wow.
Yeah,
it was great. So I come back to Georgetown just driving a truck. And in Georgetown, it's a small little town.
Georgetown's where, in California?
Yeah, Northern California.
Okay.
About an hour and a half out of Sacramento. And, you know, we used to just drink, like, Ole's, Olympia beer. You don't know what an Ole is and stuff like that. And just listen to our favorite 8-track tapes. And then sometimes when we get a fire at the end of the payment or something going, somebody would bring a guitar. And they passed around, and I never could play anything. So I went to Auburn, got a book that shows you the guitar chords. So at the campfire, when they pass around, I go, oh, I'll try to play, you know, money can't buy me love, or something, you know, and have fun with it, you know.
And that's when you discovered you could sing?
Well, then me and my brother and a couple friends got a band going, and we were playing the IOOF Hall in Georgetown, the Grange Hall in Garden Valley. These little gigs, we would go down to Skiff Music, rent a couple speakers, and then we had this PV board. Put our, we didn't know you had to have a front house guy. He was on the side of the stage running the front. We had no monitors. Anyway, long story short, we had fun playing Photograph, things, all this great stuff.
You were singing Photograph?
Yeah.
That's up there.
Yeah, you needed that.
That's up there, man. Hey,
no, yeah, but I'm just saying, and all of our favorite songs, you know, and it was really fun. And then we got, and then we realized that 14-year-olds were driving out of the Grange Hall because of the four kegs we would have, because that was included with the ticket price of $5 as you get some beer. And then these 14-year-old kids would drive away, which ain't cool, you guys, which we went, wait a minute.
It's don't try this
the
at
window.
Home.
So it kind of just laid low, and then all of a sudden, these two girls that I grew up with in Georgetown lived in Sacramento, and they knew Frank and Brian. So they got me... well, actually, I went to this contest three or four months before, where you put on a Walkman. You guys remember what Walkmans are, right? And they gave you a live mic. So I don't mind when you act your age, it suits. All right, so I'm ready to I get in the contest, sing this song. I go to
that's this. Wait. That was Sammy Hagar. Your Love Is Driving Me
yes.
Crazy. You just sang. That's what an idiot geek I am that I knew that. But you is that the song you actually sang?
Hang on a second. I went into the bathroom, man.
That the song for real?
Yes. Your love is driving me crazy. Yeah. Right. So here's the deal, though. It's funny. I'm in the using the latrine. All right. And another guy's in there, and he's checking himself out in the mirror, and he's got the red scarf. He's got the red spandex. He's got red shoes. Everything's red. And I'm using the bathroom, I just go, hey, so what song are you going to do? And he goes, I'm the Red Rocker, man. So I'm sitting there going.
Oh, he's going to do your song.
Huh? No, you can pick out of six different songs.
Oh, cool.
So a lot of people pick Sammy Hagar. I didn't know he was the Red Rocker. I didn't even know he was a singer of Montrose.
Oh,
we used to get 8-track tapes and the labels were all bubbled off. I don't know nothing. So this guy's going, I'm the Red Rocker. And I went, all right, well, hey, good luck, man. He goes, I don't need no luck, man. I'm the Red Rocker.
It wasn't really Sammy Hagar. It was
no,
a guy.
No.
Okay.
So, hey, long story short, they call a girl's name. He jumped up there. They go, no, buddy, you're second. The girl sings, you know, Who Can It Be Now or whatever their six song you pick from. Then he comes up there and he's going, no, man. You're at your age. He didn't know the words, right? So I thought, this guy's, I'm done, I'm dust, but I'm still going to do it. And then I heard him do that, and I go, well, he doesn't know all the words, so hey. So I put this Walkman on, I'm logging on, I don't mind when you at your age. And then I'm in these, a friend of mine, his mom made knee-high moccasins. I had them on with my 501s. And I went to go twirl, to do a twirl, like, all right, because I could hear the crowd going, hey. And Bob Keller, he's a guy, he's still a DJ in our town. He's like, yanks the chain because I'm on the headphones, right? So I went, oh, and I come back. Well, when these girls got me a what do you call, audition with City Kid, with Brian and Frank, they knew that, actually, the girls knew that their singer, Jeff Harper, for City Kid, was going to quit that night and go work for Target, which was a bigger band in Sacramento.
Oh, I thought you meant the store Target.
Yeah,
me
too.
No. It's a band called Target. So anyway, they played Friday and Saturday nights. City Kid had just worked up to month, and we're getting ready to make that switch over to the weekends, playing the weekends. Jeff Harper was going to quit. So I watch these two girls, Trish and Catherine, go in the back. Brian and Frank come back out. I see this eyebrows from Frank and stuff. And they go, hey, we're going to call this guy Jeff Keith up on stage. He's going to sing a song with us, because they knew Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy. Well, I get up there, and because I have no experience whatsoever, how old was I? 24?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm just yelling, don't worry! All this stuff, right? But I went over to share the mic with Frank and sing, your love is driving me crazy! Da-da-da. And then Frank heard that. And I remember, I guess, B-Dub told me later, he says, man, I was saying, man, this guy don't know shit. Can I say that word?
Yeah, yeah.
He don't know jack shit about this stuff. Man, he don't know how to use a microphone monitors. And Frank goes, I know he doesn't, but he's singing in my ear. Right. And I think he's our guy.
Wow.
And the next day,
cool.
I auditioned. And the manager at the time had me sing, when I hear that rock and roll, it gets down to my soul. That rock and roll. I didn't even know it. Wasn't that familiar with Queen. But he just had me keep singing that over and over. Next, you know, I'm in the band. Then about
I got to stop there because I got to hit a break. Yeah. But the war, the
hey, at any rate, here we are.
The Jeff Keith Whirlwind Experience, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind everybody, though, in all the craziness, let's remind everybody of a few things. First of all, Def Leppard and Journey on a mega tour going out this summer together. No, when does it start? Not even the summer. Sooner than that, right?
I think it's May, right?
May, yeah.
Yeah.
And all indoor arenas, even some stadiums there as well. And the stadiums, there will be a third act. And in the other venues, it's just the two of you playing full sets. So that's big news. Rick Allen's
art,
which he has on the ship. And last time I saw him a couple weeks ago when you were on my show, you were doing the galleries. How'd everything go with that? Well,
it went really well. I did Short Hills in New Jersey and then King of Prussia. And being on the boat's been great. Everybody's responded really well to the artwork. And I'm glad I could bring, you know, the Steve Clark piece and especially the latest one I just did, which is Jimi Hendrix. So people have been really, really cool. Thank you.
And where can you, for people listening, to see the art and the website, is it the Wentworth site? Is that where people should go?
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Go to wentworthgallery.com or you can go to rickallen.com and check out some of the work. But it's cool. I'm really enjoying doing it. It's very, very therapeutic for me.
Yeah. And Jeff, you guys have announced, like yesterday, a tour coming up with Styx and Joan Jett,
that's
right?
That's right, this summer.
I saw that, man. That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah, man, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got to be careful. You've only got to ask him half a question. You know what I mean?
Hey, I know.
Otherwise you get a novel.
I talk a lot, so I'm not good at this stuff. Oh, I know.
No,
I'm sorry. I feel bad, Eddie.
No,
what are you talking about?
No,
it's great.
And that was with me being in a nutshell. In a nutshell. Blah, 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 blah.
You just said before you don't do energy drinks. Thank God for all of us.
Oh, no, no.
My God.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, we used to do some other mind-bending substances, and when he got into that, it was like, forget it.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like Rick Allen remember has a story.
Oh, yeah. Remember Manchester?
Oh, yeah. Oh, do I? That was, like, awesome, man.
Oh, man. No, we did copious amounts of mushrooms, didn't we?
I know, yeah. But it was great. It was awesome. Dude, it was great.
Wait a minute. You specifically remember doing mushrooms in Manchester? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you would.
Yes.
How long ago was this?
We
back
walked
in the
around
day?
The town going to all these bars.
Yeah, remember I got on that
motorcycle
and the guy
like
came.
Oh,
he didn't like that.
Not happy
no,
about
he didn't
it.
Like that, man.
No.
No.
I know, man. So, and then some people that did it with us, they were like crying. So I remember Troy kept coming up to me as we walked back, and I'm like, I'm jumping up on things. I like to jump up on things and walk. And Troy goes, you're next. I'm like, what do you mean I'm next? He goes, you're next. I'm going, quit saying I'm next. So he come up and go, you're next. And I go, what am I next for? He goes, to cry. I went, I don't want to cry. And I started jumping up on things.
Oh, no, we had fun.
We had a blast.
What do you mean, the shrooms made you cry?
No, they made them cry.
They were getting all emotional. They were getting all emotional. No, he's like.
No, I'm like, no, I'm enjoying it, man.
I do it all that shit.
Yeah. So we went to some club where it's back where you could do moshing, and Tommy Skeel was in his leather coat doing this on a dance floor about this big with a bunch of guys in leather coats doing this. And I'm just like going, whoa. I'm tripping on everything. It was great. It was a great experience.
Anyway, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Sounds like
the name of the next Def Leppard album, Mushrooms in Manchester. Oh, good stuff. What a way to end a couple weeks of Cruise broadcast with a fun show like this with a guy that really has to up the energy a little bit when he comes on radio shows.
Hey, I apologize for going over on that last
one. Don't apologize. What are you talking about? It was great.
I think it might have been my fault. I talk a lot.
No.
He's a singer. He's a singer. Master of ceremonies.
Yes or no, I'm pretty good with no, hell no, or yeah. But.
No, so it's been amazing. It's absolutely been incredible. So we promised maybe a few people in the room want to ask a question, Def Leppard or Tesla question. Somebody, right? Come up to the microphone. Anybody want to ask a question?
Maybe a me and Jeff question. I mean,
forget
about the band.
Yeah, we'll ask the questions like, you got any shrooms? I'm kidding. Quit doing that a long time ago. I'm kidding. Don't. By all means, don't come up going. Tell me when.
Go ahead, sir. Please stop the madness. Ask a question.
Yeah, just wondering. We're on the cruise. Some great bands. Any bands you've seen that you thought, wow, they're amazing, you've never seen before?
For me, I just saw Jeff for the first time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Not Jeff, Frank.
Oh.
No, I thought you're amazing.
I thought all those shows we did together, that's the first time.
No, I saw it. I know. No. It happens sometimes. Right. It's like,
Frank's solo.
Frank
Hanna. I went out to Frank's pool party.
That was fantastic.
Pool stage. Dave, I would have went this morning, but 9:30.
No, especially the way you two were feeling.
No, hey, man, you know, life is beautiful. I'm always feeling great. But
you haven't been to bed yet, have you?
Oh, yeah.
So you got to see Frank's solo band.
That was great.
Right.
Which you enjoyed.
Really,
Jeff, who?
Dave's was at 9:30 this morning, I think, or that might have been acoustic. I don't know. And then he did another one that was too early in the morning for me. I can't wind down. Go figure. I can't wind down until like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's
so
what, yeah.
I wake up around noon, 1, whatever.
Right, yeah. Anybody else got a question? Come on up.
Thanks.
Fernando.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say I was on the Def Leppard cruise, and I had a good time.
Oh,
it was
good.
No problem until, like, the passing of Jimmy. Yeah. So, and I got to see a Def Leppard concert that no one ever has and will ever be. It was Def Leppard with Eric Martin and Kip Winger singing. So
you know what, that was fun.
We talked about that.
I'm glad you see we talked about that, and I think that that's very special that people perceived it in that way, because it was something special, something unique. I mean, Joe sat out in the audience, and you know he introduced Def Leppard.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And my question is, for Rick. At what point in your career you realized that because of your accident, you started being like a role model for people just beyond like the rock star thing? And I'll tell you a quick story about it. I'm Brazilian. I work in corporate. And when I started my career, I had like a photograph of Rick Allen in my office or my cubicle. And when I had like a bad day where my boss shit on my head and something like that, and I was like all whiny, I would look at you and think, okay, this is nothing compared
Wow, that's awesome, man.
No, that's cool. I have a picture of Jeff.
That's really true. And the fact that...
That is true. A picture of Jeff will make you smile, too.
I have a picture of Jeff every time I'm feeling bummed.
I'm with this man right here. I mean, you are a big inspiration.
Yeah,
Rick,
for sure.
You guys are cool.
Rick, that my daughter, for one of her school projects a couple years ago, they had to pick a hero, and she picked you as one of the heroes. She doesn't even know the band's music, really.
That's cool, man.
It's got to make you feel good.
I mean, I do. I feel really blessed. And going back to what you asked, that question, I think I started to move forward when I stopped comparing myself to who I used to be, you know, in terms of, you know, two arms. And I stopped comparing myself to others, and I started to celebrate my uniqueness. And that's not being, you know, sort of, you know, right. my head overinflated. It was more, that was a way to get through it, was go, you know what? I can't play like that, like I used to. And I can't play like, you know, Steve Smith or, you know, a whole or whatever. But I can do something that's really unique. And then I started to feel important again. And then I felt like I could be a role model. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, which so you are.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I have a 6-year-old son, and he lives like a pretty cushy life. And I try to look for examples for him that, like, people got it tough and you know, made the best out of it. And typically, you're one of them. So it's pretty enlightening.
That's cool, man. I appreciate that. And I think I don't know about anybody else, but I think you grow through suffering. You know, if you go through a situation, and I think that's one of the reasons why Def Leppard was still a really solid unit, is because we've been through a lot of ups, but we've been through a lot of downs.
Sure.
And if you can ask that question when you're all sitting in the same room, well, why are we doing this again? And then you go, oh, yeah, because we like each other. We actually like being in each other's company. And I think that's at some of the lowest points in Def Leppard's career is when we've actually come out stronger. So it's cool.
Let me ask you this. It's been, what, 30 years since you lost your arm, about?
I was, let's see, end of 1984.
Oh, so longer, so a little more than 30 years. How long did it, or maybe you haven't, are there still things that you kind of naturally try to do that you still, even after all these years, you kind of reach, you know, for something that's not there? What's been the toughest thing?
I get frustrated sometimes because I have a certain speed that I want to do things at, and sometimes I can't. Whether that's, you know, getting ready, putting your shoes on, or you're in the kitchen, you're cooking or doing something, you know, it's like you're trying to get your face involved, and, you know, it's like, come on, you know,
right,
this
right,
is like,
right.
this is
frustrating.
Really, yeah, it's just frustrating. But I count my blessings. I wake up every morning. I'm like, I woke up.
Exactly. Exactly, Rick. You're a great inspiration. You're such a great guy, man.
Cool, man.
I woke up, and I'm not on shrooms. Anybody else? We have maybe time for one more question. Anybody else want to ask anything to Rick or come on, Jay? You know how many cruises I've been on when I actually know the people on the ship by their first names as they come up. Go ahead, Jay.
If you follow Eddie Trunk, you probably heard this story about Download and Eddie taking the microphone.
Oh, gosh. You want to hear that again?
Yeah, the microphone. Remember, he didn't have a microphone on stage, right?
Yeah.
So the other part of the story is, you guys started at noon that day.
Right.
There was 200,000 people there.
Okay.
Wow. And you guys played. Not that many people knew who you were. At the end of the day, me and my friend are the only two Americans in a crowd of 200,000 people. Like, what the hell was that? Tesla. What? They never heard it, and they were blown away.
That's cool.
Blown
That's
away. Great. Blown now, away.
Yeah.
The story, though, was that Jeff let me intro the band, let us, myself, Don and Jim, intro the band on stage at Download because they were the one band playing that we knew and we needed to get a shot for the TV show. And I took the microphone. I'm like, all right, England, please welcome.
And
America's great band, my favorite, Tesla.
Then you were supposed to exit stage left.
I exited, but I took Jeff's microphone with him all
the
way.
I know you exited stage right, so I had to run over to you and I tapped just in time to go, I'm a mean machine. Whatever it was.
No. You had opened with I Want to Live because I remember.
Oh, there you go.
And I remember I'm walking down the back ramp and I'm like all proud, like, wow, I just was on stage. And I hear the band playing, and then all of a sudden I'm like a good like 300 yards from the stage.
Well,
and all of a sudden Jeff is tapping me on the shoulder. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, my microphone, you have it.
I probably just said, I need the mic.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh my gosh, I almost ruined their whole Download thing so we could go do that. So,
oh man, you can overcome that stuff. People understand.
That's because you're Jeff Keith. Some other lead singer with a stick up his ass would have a whole problem with it. You're Jeff Keith. That's what makes you special, man.
Well, hey. Thank you. And if a stick up the ass made you that way, I would not want to go, I don't want to be that guy. But no, it's sometimes and this livelihood, people can trip on. They, it's their problem. They just did, but they turn to somebody and go, "You," and take it out on them, right?
Yeah, the blame game.
Yeah, it's your fault because I did that. Yeah. It's like, no, I'm the kind of guy. Nah.
You got to own it, man.
Well, as I told you, it was a barrel of laughs there with Jeff Keith and Rick Allen on board the Monsters of Rock cruise. As you just heard, those guys were just in rare form. Jeff certainly was, and we had a great, great time on the cruise. Can't wait for the next one already. Thank you to Jeff, and thank you to Rick, and thank you to all the people who were in our live audience. Thank you to everybody on board the Monsters of Rock cruise. I think there's still a couple more interviews that I'll bring you as a podcast in the coming weeks from the cruise as well. Again, all of the interviews you hear on the Eddie Trunk podcast are courtesy of my daily radio show on Sirius XM channel 106 volume. The show is called Trunk Nation, and it is live with nothing but rock talk and interviews every day from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, replaying every night 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to Katie Irizarry. She is the producer of the Eddie Trunk podcast. I'll see you next Thursday for another all-new episode, free as always, PodcastOne.com and iTunes.
Hey humans, David Smalley here from the Dogma Debate Podcast, right here on Podcast One, where we talk about all the things you're not supposed to discuss at work: religion, politics, abortion, racism, slavery, and that's only when we open the Bible. We discuss Islam, Islamophobia. What does that even mean? We chat with vegans, animal rights activists, and even visit factory farms to see it for ourselves. I invite people from multiple backgrounds to convert me into their worldview. But as long as they're okay with being respectfully challenged, you better bring your evidence. And I never lose sight of how both the left and the right are seeming to lose their minds. So basically, we're solving all the world's problems right here on Dogma Debate. And you've been missing it. Download Dogma Debate on iTunes, Stitcher, or PodcastOne.com.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.